Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, on this morning's show, I want to delve into a topic that I've never really discussed on the program before. In short, I want to talk about former pro athletes who are now sports parents themselves and how they view their own kids as they aspire to climb the ladder in the world of competitive sports. Now, we already know that lots of sports parents dream big for their sons and daughters about not only being good enough to someday receive a college athletic scholarship, but even perhaps going beyond the college years and being good enough to play pro ball. Over the years, I've spoken with countless moms and dads about their dreams for their athletic kids. And, you know, truth is, even though there's certainly nothing wrong about having big dreams for one's children, I must confess that I wince a little when the parents seem to be so sure and so confident that their athlete is going to be one of the very few who will indeed be good enough to play in college and then at the pro level. But here is the irony. Whenever I speak to actual former pro athletes who are now sports parents themselves, in general, they seem to be a little more reserved about their dreams for their kids in sports. That is, they certainly all have similar dreams, but the former pro athletes seem to be a little more quiet about it. And to that end, I wanted to bring on Roman Oben, who's a former NFL star and whose son RJ is enjoying a spectacular career at St. Peter's Prep over in New Jersey. Highly recruited as a defensive end, RJ has committed to play football at Duke. As for Roman, well, he's a former 12-year NFL offensive lineman who was a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He starred at the University of Louisville before being drafted by the Giants, and these days Roman serves as the NFL's Director of Youth and High School Football. In short, you couldn't ask for a more perfect parent to talk about one's son playing sports. Roman, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for getting up early this morning. Let's talk about my thesis, my premise here. I mean, you've been there, Roman. You've been a top NFL player for more than a decade. Now you're a sports parent. So when you look at your own son, at RJ, and you talk with him about playing college football, and he was recruited by a lot of schools, what do you tell him about what to expect first at the collegiate level?
Well, I think that when you go through the process of, you know, visiting schools, and he knows that it's fortunate to be considered a Division I athlete, and one of my colleagues, Howard Cross, you know, his son goes to St. Joe's Prep, and they actually... St. Joe's Regional, Montville, New Jersey. They beat St. Peter's yesterday for the to advance to the state. So I was very happy for Howard Cross and his son Howard Jr., who's committed to Notre Dame. So having kids that were born the same year and we've kind of gone through this together, I always say that we got to focus on the process because we've been through it. And so when you're visiting schools and you're saying, listen, this is what you expect. These are the questions you're going to ask. Recruiting has become about putting on a jersey and taking pictures in front of the locker room and showing the experience, but you got to make sure. I mean, you're making these decisions at 16, 17 years old. They're going to affect the rest of your life. So
Right. You
need to ask more than just surface level questions about, you know, what are the home and away jerseys and what's the schedule and what do the facilities look like and are we going to win a national championship? Like, you really got to say, this is a place where I can succeed in that next phase of life, which is that 18 to 22, 18 to 23 years old, when most of us really learn how to become adults and learn how to manage our time.
Yeah, and obviously you must look back upon your own collegiate career, because obviously your son is going to be, you know, going into Duke to play football, and he's a big kid. He's what, 6'4", about 240, is that correct?
Yeah, about 240.
So, you know, he knows this is going to be a step up, but obviously people like yourself who have been through the wars at the collegiate level and then have played at the NFL, you know, he's going to be looking to you not just, of course, as a father and as a role model, but to say, Dad, what happens here? What can I expect? How is it going to be different from what I've been accustomed to in high school?
Well, there's a physical development aspect to this, and I think the reason I trusted, you know, Rich Hansen and his staff and St. Peter's and then that system, you know, they play Bosco and Bergen and all those schools in that division,
right?
Is that you're playing against kids in your class that are going to be D1 athletes, you know, FCS athletes, and so coming out of eighth grade, we were standing on the sidelines watching Minka Fitzpatrick, Brandon Winbush, and all these guys in that class. So I said if this nets out and you are a Division II recruiter, you're a whatever you are, you're going to know it because of the competition that you face and how you do against that competition. So I think being realistic about those expectations early on, and just making sure from a child development standpoint that he was growing, you know, consistent with what he needed. And so, you know, he didn't, you know, I think RJ's got a June birthday, so he just turned 17 in June. So a lot of kids are now 15 when they get to high school, and they're developed, their parents held them back for development or for whatever, or reclass in junior high school. We didn't do that, and so I knew that he was going to struggle physically a little bit earlier because he was, you know, 13, 14, you know, coming into high school, not 15. So physically, you just don't mature until you're like 16 years old. And so, and again, I think as a parent, I would say, you know, as a parent first, no one wants to see their kids struggle or do poorly, but you want to continue to just build your kid's confidence, knowing that at the end of it, he's going to be 6'3", 6'4", he's going to be bigger, longer. You know, eventually your body has to catch up with you versus, you know, some of the smaller kids who are shiftier and a little bit earlier because of lower center of gravity, but they don't peak to the same level as a bigger kid who actually continues to get better into his teenage years, into his, you know, adult years.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And we're talking with Roman Oben this morning about his son. Yeah, I mean, obviously, sometimes parents forget about the adolescent's impact and the fact that they continue to grow and change, not just physiologically, but obviously, you know, psychologically as well, as they begin to, you know, master more skills and get a more of a sense of confidence. Now, Roman, I know education is important to you, and obviously, you know, when your son was being recruited by a number of programs, I'm sure, and maybe I'm just assuming this, that academics was something that was very important to you and to RJ. Tell me, because obviously he's going to Duke, which is a top school academically.
Yeah, well, and again, I'm glad that, you know, as a parent, and I say this all the time, all you can do is get your kids to the bus stop every day, and eventually they have to buy in on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're away from home, and that's in the classroom. You know, the decisions that they make, you know, how they show themselves on, you know, digitally, like social media, some of those things. So, yes, he's a good student. I'm very proud of that, more so than anything. But when we started looking at schools, and I went to Louisville. Full disclaimer, I went to the University of Louisville.
Right.
I said that let's look at academically the U.S. News and World Report, you know, top 50, top 100, and let's pull away all the football, the D1 football schools from that. And I said, that is going to be the schools that you choose from. So if you went down the line, you know, Duke, Boston College, Virginia, and Vanderbilt, and, you know, Northwestern, we visited Northwestern, and so... again, it's a privilege to be in that position to make those choices. But again, it's focus on if football never happens after college, like, you need to make sure you're in the best position to succeed in your life. And I think the biggest misnomer that people tell athletes in college, it's like, well, focus on school because if it's good something to fall back on. That's the worst advice. You're in school to go to school. You're in college to learn and become an adult and learn economics or business or finance. And if sports works out, now you know how to manage yourself, know how to manage your time. You know how to manage yourself socially because you've been in school for, and you've been around these high academic kids who are going to continue to be successful in life. You have a pool of people to lean on. And I think that's sometimes, you know, culturally, when we grow up and we don't have those role models, we don't have dads and people that understand finance and understand, and, you know, you've, if you have a, you know, you're from a family that isn't well educated in certain areas, you don't have, any perspective. And so, I mean, it was very fortunate. It's one thing to grow up in a locker room, you know, and you grow up in, you know, you're in second grade and you're getting LaDain Tomlinson's gloves and you're taking them to class the next day. But, I mean, the reality is that you're around a lot of people that have a lot of perspective. And I think talking to some of my former teammates like Howard, like, you know, Sam Madison lives in Florida. I think he coaches at St. Thomas Aquinas, another big-time program down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We all say the same thing. Like, look, focus on school. We know football's hard. We know, you know, spring conditioning, spring practices, managing your schedule. Like, you need to go somewhere where you think you can be successful, and anywhere. And if that's a local school, Rutgers, if it's Villanova, Delaware, wherever, you know, I think you've got to make that best decision for you.
I'm listening to you, and I'm just, you know, soaking us all in because, again, it's one thing if you're hearing it from another sports parent or perhaps a coach. When you hear it from this kind of advice and insight from a former top NFL player who played for a long time at the top of his game professionally, and you're telling your son, look, you understand, you know, it's about education and the fact that you understand that this is going to drive you far beyond just playing college sports, maybe even pro ball. The fact is the education becomes so paramount. And that's the lesson we want all the sports parents to understand, that it's not about putting, you know, football or basketball or baseball or soccer and then the education is something to fall back on. No. It's the education that's the top priority here, and that's what it's all about. And I got to tell you, Roman, that's the ultimate lesson that we want all sports parents to understand and to absorb. Look, let me take a time out here. We're talking with Roman Oben. We're talking about his son, RJ, who is a top Division I football prospect. He's already committed to Duke. Obviously, he's a terrific football player and a great kid as well. Let me take a pause. Dave Urem has your sports update. When I return, we'll open the phone lines here if you have any calls or comments about sports parenting from the perspective of a former pro athlete. 1-877-337-6666. And back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking this morning with a longtime former NFL star, Roman Oben, about being a sports parent to his son, RJ. And, you know, I have to ask you, Roman, when your son was going through the college recruiting process and the coaches were talking to him and obviously were talking to you as well, what were the coaches, how did they treat you as somebody who would play the NFL? You know, tell me how interaction, how that went down.
Well, I certainly received a lot of respect walking into the building, but I think coaches always expect a certain type of maturity when they have a parent, a dad that's either a high school coach,
yeah,
or a former NFL college, you know, player, because they know the right questions to ask. So there would be certain times where I would just talk some football with them, and just what was their defensive philosophy, and what do they believe in, and what do they, and just some more granular level questions. And there were some times where I would just walk out the room and let them get to know him, because I think it can be intimidating. I think,
yeah, I'm sure.
And then you'd see other families there where there's 6-7 family members, mom, dad, parents, younger brothers, and they're asking all the questions, and the kid who's going to actually spend the next 4 or 5 years in that environment is not asking any questions at all. So when you deal with the position coaches, the head coach, the academic staff, I always made sure I left the room when he's talking to the academic people so he could ask specific questions about the schedule and what type of things they're going to do. You know, how do they practice in the morning? Do they have a dedicated football study hall? Is it one shared with all the student athletes? Like, all those specific questions. You know, are things, is the facilities close to the dorms, like where they live? Is he going to need a ride or a shuttle all the time? You know, is weather play into that? When you talk about schools like Syracuse where it snows a lot on campus. So those are the questions you have to ask, but you definitely get a lot more respect than I'm sure other dads would that have never even been in that environment until, you know, living kind of vicariously through their kids.
Well, I think you just mentioned the experience yourself that you know, you come prepared with questions to ask the coaches because you've been through it yourself through college. And you also were very smart in saying, look, I want, you know, at some point let me leave the room so the coaches can talk to my son and they can interact and they get a better sense of not only what RJ is like, but RJ can get a better sense himself of what they're like to interact with, because it is, you know, let's face it, having a former NFL player as a dad there can be intimidating. It's as simple as that. Let's take some calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's start this morning with Frank over in Kings Point. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, guys. Great topic today. I just want to voice my story. First of all, it's very important that the school fit the student. It may not be the greatest school in the world, but if the student fits the school and vice versa, then that's where you're going to go. My daughter was recruited by 32 Division I and Division II lacrosse schools.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we narrowed it down to three schools, with an Ivy League school being one of them. I got a call from one of the coaches towards the end, and I voiced my concerns to the coach, saying my daughter is not a very good student. She's an average student at best, and, you know, Ivy League, I understand that the academic requirements are very, very hard.
Yep.
He went on to say, don't worry about it. We'll put her in general studies. We'll push her through. Now, I don't want my daughter pushed through. I want my daughter to get an education. So we declined on that school. We went to a school down south. Before her first college game, she tore her ACL.
Oh.
Okay, I'll never forget the phone call. We were home eating dinner. I got the call. She was crying her eyes out. We went down there. She had the operation. She recovered. The next year, they redshirted her. In her first exhibition game at Duke University, she tore her ACL again.
Oh.
Okay, college career over. Okay, the moral of the story, Rich, is the education is the most important thing. Nobody knows what's going to happen. You have to put the education first, and you have to have the school fit the student. Not all schools are a fit for the student. I don't have a vacation home in Hyannis. I'm not a senator's son. And some of these Ivy League schools, this is what you're going to be dealing with. So you have to have the school fit the student. And like I said, that was my experience, and that's all I have to say, Rich. A big fan of yours, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Frank. And Roman, that's exactly, and again, Frank's story about his daughter going through not one but two ACL injuries and how important it is to find the school that fits the son or daughter. Nobody wants to talk about injuries, with their kids, but clearly you've seen your share of injuries over the years from your own career. I mean, you talked to RJ's a big kid. He's 6'4", 240. I mean, certainly you must talk to him about look, injuries do happen.
Well, I always say you can't control what you can't control.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a child development part of this thing that we could probably talk about as well. The multiple camps and clinics, and by the time you get to high school, you know, you have 200,000 miles in your body, and I'm not saying that's the case with this gentleman's daughter, but
right.
Those kinds of sports, lacrosse, soccer, basketball, are very volume intensive. So, you know, you have 3-4 tournaments in a day and going back and forth. You know, football's not like that, and I think with football, the good news is, you know, you spend 90% of your time practicing, watching film, preparing yourself because of the physical toll on your body. But I kept RJ away from that extra lacrosse camp, the extra training, the extra speed work. I mean, at 10, 12 years old, you know, to pay someone to have them do agility ladders for 3-4 days a week, I mean, you don't really develop speed. Your body just gets used to a pattern, and you get better at doing that pattern. And so speed and all that stuff, it all matches with where you end up physically and how you learn how to use your body, you play within your body, like that's a whole different physical discussion. So injuries do happen, and I don't say, hey, you could get injured, but we always say protect your body. But I think the big news is it's important to go to the right school, which is that I agree with that gentleman 100%.
Tell me, did RJ play other sports?
Yeah, and when he was born, I told my wife that literally she was on the operating table in the hospital. I said he won't play until middle school football. Just don't worry. I don't want you to have any anxiety about football, and I'm not going to stuff a football in his hand tomorrow morning when he when he wakes up. You know, he played rec basketball, rec lacrosse, rec soccer. I mean, through, you know, fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah.
Because of his weight, we had weight limit restrictions. So he, you know, he played football and started in seventh grade. He was learning how to play and you know, dealing with the expectations, and people think you're just going to be a stud when you walk on the field because of who your dad is.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Howard Cross in that because we had these discussions about our boys, you know, several times. It's, you've got to make the unpopular decision about not only what to put your kids in, what not to do, because you've seen the end of the movie. You know that your kids are going to net out pretty well, you know, in 16, 17 years old, but raising the best, you know, fourth grade all-star was never the goal here. And I think as a parent, you've got to make sure you're making the unpopular – you're okay making the unpopular decision at the expense of, you know, some of these coaches that say, hey, don't you want to play another season? And, you know, you should do fall lacrosse because you can keep the stick swinging. And when deep down inside, I mean, those towns in northern Jersey, you know, where I live, and you know, your Summit, you know, Mountain Lakes, Kinnelon, where we used to live, and some of those, I mean, you take these 30 kids and try to do the same sport all year long, and then they start to fizzle out by middle school. And so nothing's worth having your kids have a bad experience or getting to the end of the movie, like I say, you know, your high school, junior, senior year, or sophomore year, and you just don't want to play anymore. I think as long as we can achieve that, where a kid gets to high school and they're passionate and they want to contribute to the team and they don't mind getting up at 5:30 in the morning for workouts and all that stuff. Because when you're in college, now you're on their dime. You have to do that. You better like what you're doing if you're going to be in that position. So,
now,
and obviously the school and the social aspect of that is as important as well.
Roman, Emmer, we're talking this morning with Roman Oben about raising atop D1 college football prospect. You know, I do want to ask you very quickly, because obviously you are the NFL's director of youth and high school football. You know, we've had endless conversations about concussions, so I don't want to go into that. But you just mentioned before that with your own son, he didn't start playing tackle football until, what, seventh or eighth grade?
Yeah.
Tell me how this all works with the NFL's philosophy these days about, you know, trying to, you know, engender the next generation of young football players.
Well, I think you've seen the discussion about football. There's a very discussion about when you should play. We don't have a position. I think we, you know, USA Football is a national governing body, and they provide a lot of tremendous, you know, educational resources and certifications to parents and coaches on the youth end. And if you live in Texas and you live down south where football is king, and you've got kids that are playing at a younger ages and have great experiences, and they get better and they're coached well, and then they get to high school and they have great experiences. If you live up north, if you live somewhere else where that's not the case, so you may do other sports like lacrosse and then pick up football later, it's entirely up to the parent at that dinner table. And I think, you know, in no way should government or anyone else or any jurisdiction like dictate when a child should play any sport, because of child development stages are different across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's always my advice as a parent. Not so much from the NFL standpoint or a governing standpoint of when. Nothing should dictate when your kid should play other than the parents and the child and their comfort level and their level of, you know, of wanting to play that sport.
No, I hear you. Let's continue with our callers here. Let's go to Paul over in Tom's River. Hey, Paul. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rich and Roman. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you.
Yep.
Roman, congratulations on raising what seems like such a nice young man.
Thank you.
That. I wanted to find out if you have been exposed to the dark side of recruiting. Obviously, your son is a Division I athlete, and I know with basketball and the Adidas scandal that's been going on with paying kids, and I just wanted to find out, if because of who you are and what your job is, have you not been exposed to that, or have you seen that? Because obviously some of these Division I schools will do just about anything to get a talented athlete that could help them.
Thanks for that question. You know, I didn't experience that as much, and obviously, full disclaimer, I said I went to Louisville early in the segment. I've seen, you know, the vacated national championship of 2013 and some of the things that the school went through, and it's really unfortunate when anyone has to go through that. But, I mean, we played everything by the book, and we made sure, you know, I think after September 1st, junior year, coaches can start texting or DMing you on Twitter. I mean, you know, there were most of the schools did that. I don't, you know, I've had to learn these new rules this year about contact, and but in no way did I really experience any of those negatives with payments. And you're talking about basketball, which is a totally different animal, where these kids are identified in 7th, 8th grade in terms of their NBA potential. Football's different, obviously. But no, we didn't experience any of that. Thank goodness. And I think that's why, given the institutions we were looking at, good tradition, things, you know, history of doing things the right way and not the other way around. So yeah, we were good in that regard.
Paul, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Roman, you know, it's just so refreshing to have a chance to talk to somebody like yourself who, again, you know, when I speak to sports parents all the time, you mentioned how, you know, you haven't gone through this yourself, not only as a player, but also now as a dad. It's a complicated process. And, of course, the essence of talking to your son, preparing him for the recruiting process, tell him what's going to happen when he goes to college. And then, you know, obviously there's going to be adversity. There perhaps might be injuries down the road. But the essential element of being, you know, using the education, that's the top priority in terms of his young life. And to really understanding that he's well prepared to go to a school like Duke and to handle the academic challenges there as well. Roman, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning to talk about this openly, because it's something that I think all sports parents really need to hear. And again, if it comes from somebody like yourself who's been there, it just has that much greater weight to what people need to hear.
Yeah, no problem. And I can stay on for the next segment. I would just say that, you know, for a parent, just three things: focus on the process and not the end result, because that's where you learn about yourself, learn about your kid, and what they like, what they don't like, and it's okay to fail. You know, it's okay to not be good at something. And then, you know, don't be afraid to make the unpopular decision, you know, and that's not playing or not doing an extra sport or the same sport 10 months out of the year.
Well, Roman, can you stay for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do that, because obviously a lot of people want to get through and talk to you as well. Let me take a time out. When I return, we'll go right back to your call. Stay with me. And back here on Rick Wolf's Sports Edge, don't forget, 9 o'clock this morning, it is Malusis and Deal, Mark Malusis and Dave Deal talking about the NFL. That starts at 9 right after this show. Quick reminder, our Sports Psychology Symposium is slated to take place on December 5th at 7 p.m. at the Fairlawn Rec Center in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Now, I'm going to be talking about all things related to sports psychology. There will also be a book signing of my new book, Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. You can buy tickets at the door, $20 for adults, $10 for teenagers and senior citizens. And if you want to purchase them in advance, not a bad idea. Let me give you two options here. You can go to Brown Paper Tickets online and find the event number 366-1337. I'll repeat that for you. Brown Paper Tickets, event number 366-1337, or you can call our friend Jack Smithlin. Call him directly at 201-693-2557. Again, Jack's number is 201-693-2557. We're talking this morning with Roman Oben. We're talking about what it's like to be a former NFL player, having your son go through the recruiting process and what that's involved and what's that entail. And it's an interesting kind of situation, particularly if you are a sports parent yourself. And we're taking calls at 1-877-337-6666. Roman, let's continue on. Let's go over to West Orange, and Roland is standing by. Roland, good morning. You're on the Fan.
What a wonderful topic. You know, I'm 66 years old, and I coached children for 33 consecutive years, not in football. But I noticed when they changed that you could go to any school, they changed the districts and everything. I want to address Roman on this. You had mentioned very prestigious high schools. My question is, does it make a difference what high school you choose to send your son or daughter to, where they're going to be looked at more than another school?
That's a good question. Roland, thank you for that. Roman, what about that? Does it make a difference about why did you send your son to St. Peter's Prep?
Well, I went to I grew up in Washington, D.C. and went to Gonzaga High School.
Sure.
So it's all-boys Jesuit school. And I just, you know, I'm old school. I believe in that philosophy. So it had nothing to do with anyone that lives in New Jersey understands the Bergen Bosco and all those, you know, all that competition. It had nothing to do with that by any means. I just wanted him to go to an all-boys school just for that part of his male development.
Uh-huh.
But just from an athletic standpoint, it's probably best to go to a high school where you think you can have the best experience, where you'd get on the field. I'll embarrass DJ Nymphies. He's the head coach at Riverdale. I'm in Oradell, New Jersey, public school. You know, they don't always get the top athletes in the state, because a lot of them go to Bergen right down the street or go to wherever. But again, he maximizes his kids. They all run track. They play multiple sports. So it's at the end of the story, when you're standing there on senior day and you're with your mom and your parents and you give them the flower, you want to know that you had the best experience that you could. And if down south, like the public schools or big county schools, you got smaller schools. Up north, it's different. You've got more population density. So you really have to decide for yourself and your family what makes the most sense. I think it doesn't matter. And speaking of this discussion, you know, you don't want the public schools to be depleted because then, you know, you're seeing freshman football getting dropped at certain schools. You're seeing, you know, a 14-year-old having to play JV, and so now you're developing a 14-year-old with a 17-year-old, which physically is impossible with certain positions like the line. So it's go where that you can best succeed, and colleges will find you, just like NFL scouts will find you at any college. So it's that's my approach.
Yeah, and I would just you know, to me, you know, if you're looking at schools, I mean, to me, the bottom line is, you know, find a school, as you said, Roman, where your son or your daughter is going to succeed. That would suggest to me that if you're going to go to a school where at least your youngster is going to have a chance to play and play a lot, you may be on a terrific high school squad, but if they don't, you know, if your kid's on the second or third string and never really sees the field, that's not going to be a situation where they're going to succeed because they're not really getting much playing time. So clearly, you got to find that kind of environment where your youngster is going to play.
Yeah, and it's hard playing Division III athletics. It's hard playing at any level where you're balancing your social life and school and classes with sports and traveling. You know, writing a paper on your laptop on a plane or on a 16-passenger van, driving up to Albany or wherever to play a game. You know, that's not easy. You know, my wife played Division III volleyball at NYU,
mm-hmm.
and where it's you don't get academic preference for classes, it's because it's Division III. You've mm-hmm. got to balance everything around. You're not getting paid to go to school, you're on financial aid or some sort of grant, or, you know, it's we look at it on both ends, so we always had a well-balanced approach to that decision. You know, I live in Montclair, New Jersey, and Coach Fiore is a great coach, and, you know, and I like this community, and so you got to make the best decision for your kids.
I hear you. Let's go quickly to Mike over in East Rockaway. Hey, Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Roman, what a topic. You know, Roman, I believe everything you said is true, especially with a child who wants to play football. 7th, 8th grade is the perfect time to begin. And the guidance that you've given on the air, so parents have to realize, like you said, don't look at the end result. Look at the process.
Yep.
Academics is primary. Visit as many schools as you can. Speak to as many coaches. And I'm sure, Roman, that people, you know, listen to you because as a former NFL player, you know, what you've been through, you've been there, done that. And your son, I wish him the best. He's a Division I blue chip recruit. And, you know, some parents really get caught up in this thing, Roman and Rick, and you've said it on your show, Rick. If your daughter or son doesn't fit a perfect, a certain profile, size and height, Division II, III schools, I played some college baseball, D2. It's a different animal. Whatever you do, make sure that school is a perfect fit for you in every way, especially an accent on primary academics.
Yeah, so. Mike, and I know you have kids who played at the collegiate level as well. So you've been through these wars, but I got to tell you, in the end, you got to find the right fit for your son or daughter because, you know, it's a very, very rare opportunity to play at the collegiate level, and you want them to enjoy it. And Mike, thanks as always for the call.
Thank you, Rick.
You bet, Mike. And you know, the fact is that Roman, you know, so many kids, and I've covered this in the show as well, a lot of kids go off to college and they don't have a positive experience, and that's a shame. But I got to tell you, the people obviously have been calling all morning about to get on to talk to you, and I just can't thank you enough for sharing your insights and thoughts about this because I do think it's an important topic. And again, you bring great gravitas and credence to this because you've been through this as a player yourself and now as a dad. Roman, I thank you again. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on RJ next year when he's playing for the Blue Devils.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you so much. That, of course, is Roman Oben, a 12-year veteran of the NFL, who is obviously a very much serious sports parent. His son, RJ, the top player at St. Peter's Prep, defensive end, 6'4", 240, and still growing and very fast, and he's heading off to Duke next year to play for them as well. Just great stuff. Okay, let me take a quick time out. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I'm so delighted to have Roman come on the show this morning because, as I said, it's one thing to hear or to talk about the topic of college recruiting. And again, I come at this from the angle not only having been a college coach for a number of years who did recruiting, but also as a sports parent myself. And I remember very vividly, because I did in a much lesser degree, obviously, because Roman played for, you know, a dozen years in the NFL. I had played a few years in the minors, did not get to the big leagues, but I did play pro ball and obviously had played in high school and college. And I know growing up, my wife and I, raising our own three kids, thinking about what we're going to do. Don't want to put too much overt pressure on our youngsters when it comes to, athletics and whatever. So we were very cautious about making known to them that, you know, while I'd had some success as an athlete, I just wanted them to have the chance to explore sports on their own and to enjoy the experience and to let themselves, you know, find their own way. My son, for example, John loved playing ice hockey at a young age or in soccer. And I never played soccer. So I had to learn the rule book and watch videotapes to learn the rules of soccer and some of the skills. Certainly ice hockey. I never learned how to skate as a kid. My daughter Alyssa was a swimmer. I wasn't much of a swimmer. And Samantha played lacrosse. I never played lacrosse. So I was learning as we went along, but I was very conscious of the fact I want them to enjoy sports what they wanted to do, as opposed to having them trying to follow in my footsteps. Now, as it turned out, my son John went on to become a pretty good baseball player as well. Didn't play football. I had played football and had success with football as too. But point is, this whole process of sports parenting, it's complicated. We know that. And hearing from somebody like Roman Oben and how he raised his son RJ to embrace the process and learn about how important academics are, because in the end, long past the athletic career, it's the academics that are pretty much going to drive your career. It's as simple as that. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Pete Kennedy. Please stick around for Melusis and Deal. They're up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.